want to welcome you this evening to this exciting opportunity. The seminar is entitled Transformed by the Word of God, How to Experience the Power of Scripture in Your Life. And I just want to share with you that preparing for this time to be together has been a life-changing experience for me and for my wife, Bodell. And we're excited that we can share with you from God's Word during the meetings this weekend. Before we get started with the seminar itself, we want to pray. I know you've prayed in preparation for these meetings, but we realize that there's nothing that can happen here by the power of people, but only by the power of God. And so we want to invite you to kneel with us as we seek God in prayer and to ask for the Holy Spirit to bless our time together.
Father in heaven, we want to just praise your name now and thank you for all your blessings to us and just magnify your name. And we are so small in your plan, but we thank you that you see us and that you care about us and you even want to speak to us.
Amen.
And dear Father in heaven, during the week we have many voices calling and talking to us, and now as we are approaching your holy Sabbath, we want to still our souls that we might hear your voice alone. And we pray that you might send your Spirit, and we also ask that you would fill our hearts with your Spirit. And now bless us as we seek you, and we thank you for your mercies and for Jesus. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
We've chosen a theme song for our seminar, and as you might expect, it's a scripture song. As we share together over the next 2 days, you'll discover that one of the most meaningful ways to memorize God's Word is to put it to music. And we have found, as a family, we have two boys, Christopher and Jonathan, that as we sing scripture together, that we're blessed as a family. And I'm so happy to see families here tonight, and I know there's people of all ages. And I want to share with you that the Word of God can make a difference to your life. The text is taken from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. All of the scripture songs that we'll be memorizing and singing together are from the New King James Version of the Bible. But I'm just going to ask Bodell to play through the tune of this song, and then we'll sing it together. One of the nice things about singing is that I'm not here to perform. We're not here to impress anyone except to let God impress His Word upon our hearts. Amen? And so as we learn Scripture, He can do that for us. And I'm just going to begin to sing it and we'll repeat it together.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Repeat that with me now.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another.
Repeat that with me.
Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts.
Repeat that.
In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, to the Lord.
Well, you sounded like a choir of angels. I hope that the people who get to listen to this series of tapes on American Cassette Ministries will enjoy singing along with you as we enjoy our theme song from session to session. I want to sing it one more time with you, because one of the principles that we'll discover about the Word of God is that we need to repeat it. And the more that we repeat God's Word, the more it finds a place within our hearts. I think of my own life, and perhaps you can think of experiences in your life where you learn things as a child. Maybe you like baseball cards, or there was popular music that you used to listen to, and the songs would go over and over in your head, and some of them you can still remember to this day. What would happen to our hearts if we would just fill our minds with the Word of God? What would happen to our families, to our children? I think of my own life. And you perhaps could give the same testimony of so many things that I filled my mind with as a child. And when I came into my teenage years and I went over Fool's Hill, all of those useless pieces of information didn't help me to stay true to God. But what if we could teach our children to fill their hearts with the Word of God? What if we could teach and encourage our loved ones, our family, our friends? But it's going to start with us, doesn't it? Look at the beautiful message in this passage, Colossians 3:16. Let the Word of Christ, what's that talking about? The Bible, God's Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, this is the marvelous thing about Scripture. When we allow the Scripture to come into our hearts, we are actually being filled with the presence of God through His Word. The Holy Spirit comes within us, and His Word abides within us. And so we can actually sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. So this is our theme song. We're going to sing it through one more time, and we'll be singing it throughout our sessions together. Let's sing it together.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Repeat it again.
Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
I imagine the angels singing with us, don't you? It's the Word of God. And as we hide God's Word in our hearts, it will have a life-changing impact. I'd like to invite you to open your workbook to page 1. And if you're listening on the tape, I'd like to invite you to do the same. To page 1 of the workbook, Transformed by the Word of God, How to Experience the Power of Scripture in Your Life. This first session deals with preparing our hearts for God's Word. I'd like to begin by talking to you about how we're going to experience this time together, and how, as we prepare our hearts, God can work in us and through us. The structure of this seminar is not a series of lectures or sermons. If you came here tonight, or planning to come tomorrow, to hear 5 sermons, then I'm sorry, you'll be disappointed. the structure of our learning time together is to actually get involved together in the Word of God and to experience the power of God in each of our lives. That's exciting to me. How about you? As we study the Word, as we memorize the Scripture, whether we're 4 years old, let's see, who's 4 years old out there? I think you're 4 years old, aren't you? Or whether you're 94, don't raise your hand if you're 94. God's Word can make a difference to your heart. I'm so thankful that American Cassette Ministries is making this seminar available. The first seminar in this series, entitled Christian Spirituality, deals with prayer, meditating upon the Word of God, fasting, and just begins to look at Scripture. And we want to build upon that in this seminar and talk about allowing God's Word to have an ever more important place in our lives. I want you to read with me a Bible text that you'll find in the middle of page 1 of your workbook. It's from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 15 and verse 16. I'd like you to read it with me. This is from the New King James Version. And claim it as a promise for our time together this weekend. Do you see it there in bold type? And you can read along. We'll read it together. Your words were found, and I did eat them, and they were to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Do you want that experience? You know, it's a real tragedy when you think about it, that God has given His Word. And yet, if we were honest with ourselves, many times we have lived our lives as if God had never spoken. It's possible even for those of us who claim to follow the Lord to take little or no time with the Bible. I remember a young man, I was holding a seminar and we were talking about Scripture, and he had been studying the Bible for 5 years, preparing for service. And he came up to me rather shocked one evening. And he said, all of a sudden, I realized. He said, I don't remember the last time I picked up my Bible just to listen to God. It might be possible even for those in ministry, pastors, literature evangelists, Sabbath school teachers, to pick up their Bible to fill in their Bible study outline or their Sabbath school outline, or to have worship with the family, but not to allow the Word of God to have a life-changing impact upon their own lives. And so we have prayed, and I trust that you have prayed, that something special would happen to your heart in these next 2 days. On this Sabbath day, that something significant would happen. In order to enjoy the greatest benefit from our seminar, each of you as participants will have a learning partner. This person, and it may be someone you came with, or you may have to scoot over and find someone, this person will share with you, encourage you, and pray for you. And likewise, you can offer the same in return. In this way, we are following the counsel of God, found in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The marvelous thing about this seminar is there aren't just two teachers. Say, well, Derek and Bodil are teaching the seminar. First of all, the Holy Spirit, through His Word, is the main teacher. Amen? But in addition to two helpers who've said, Lord, use us any way you can, actually, there's a whole room full of teachers here. And as the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and speaks to you, young man, and speaks to you as we study together, as we interact with each other, God is going to teach us. We're going to learn things from each other as we study. And so I want to give you the opportunity now, for those of you here, and for those who may be listening on the tape, to select prayerfully a learning partner who will help you during this time of the seminar. Once you've found your learning partner, I want you to write down in the line provided on page 1 your learning partner's name. Now you say, well, I know who that is, but just write their name down on the line provided. And I'd like you to begin this weekend to pray in a special way for that person, that the Holy Spirit would bless as the Word of God finds a place in his or her heart. And I have one other decision, whether you're listening to the tape or you're right here in our congregation tonight. And I realize that these are lots of decisions you need to make, but I need you to do one more thing. I need you to look around and find one other group of two, which will make you a group of 4 people. And I want you to be sitting in close enough proximity that you can share with each other. Now, obviously, if you're studying this in a home Bible study fellowship, you can just move the chairs around, or there may only be 4 of you. But we can learn from each other. So would you just now move around in your group, find 2 other people so that we have groups of 4. And some of you may need to stand to do that.
It would be helpful to take a moment to consider how Scripture has influenced your life. So I'd like you to take time in the space on page 2 under section B, reflection upon my present condition. Number 1, how has Scripture influenced your life? If you could take about 3 minutes and write down some of your ideas. Maybe you have a special text that is meaningful to you that you'd like to write down and some insights related to that. Or maybe Scripture hasn't had a big place in your life and you want to write that down. But we'll take about 3 minutes, and then I'm going to ring a little bell at the end of that 3 minutes, and we'll take some time to share together. Okay.
It's sometimes frustrating to have such a little bit of time, but we'll give you some extra time in a little while. As you were thinking about the way in which Scripture has influenced your life, how many of you were able to think of a specific Bible text that was important to you? Okay? Were you able to remember where it was found? A few of you were, okay? How many of you remembered an experience or a life event where God brought a Scripture to you that really made a difference? All right, quite a few of you. I have another question for you as you reflected upon these things, and we're going to talk about this tomorrow. How many of you, at some point in your life, memorized some Scripture? All right. How many of you did so when you were little, like in Sabbath school, memory verses and pathfinders? Okay. You know, we've noticed something as we've been sharing about Scripture with people, and that is that almost all of us start out on the right track. We start out learning our memory verses, and some of those verses that you memorized back then, you still remember them. And somewhere along the way, we stop doing it. How old were you when you stopped memorizing Scripture? Do we get too big, too old, too sophisticated? But as you thought back in your life, many of you remembered Bible texts that at the right time the Holy Spirit brought to your mind to minister to your heart. And I want to suggest to you that if we would take seriously the things that we're going to talk about this weekend, that our lives would be radically different. Because we would give God so much more to work with. If we would fill our lives with the Word of God, what a difference it would make to our personal experiences, to our families, to our witnessing, to our work experience, to everything of our lives. Were there some here who looked back and said, Scripture really hasn't had any impact on my life? I guess we probably all, at least in a church setting, say it's had some impact. How many of you are here tonight because you would like God to do more with His Word in your heart? All right. So we feel that God is inviting us to do something else. We're going to do an exercise together. I am not an artist. I am definitely not. I didn't even write the theme song on the board. But I understand the pastor's wife is an artist. My wife likes to draw too. But there's a little exercise we'd like to do to give you some time to think about the place of Scripture in your life right now.
Okay, under section 2, there's a space. And if you want to take a moment to draw a picture which represents the role or the place of Scripture in your life right now. And here are some issues to consider. Did you spend time with Scripture today or this week or this month or this year? Or how is Scripture affecting your life now? It may even relate to why you're here at the seminar tonight. But take your pencil out and see if you can draw a picture. And we'll give you 3 minutes to do that. And then we'll share in our support groups. If you'd like to get in your support group of four to share your picture and what it means to you, and start with the person whose name is closest to A in the alphabet.
Don't worry if you're not a good artist. Welcome to my part of the human race. It's not important how well you drew, but we'd like you to share your insight, what you learned about the role of Scripture in your life right now. We're going to give you about 1 minute each. And then we'll make a bell, and you can rotate. If you're listening to the tape, take a minute, rotate to the person to your left until each of you has shared, and then we're going to take some time as a group to share together. I wish that I could see your pictures. I saw lots of smiles, and I'm sure they were beautiful. Did you learn some things by drawing pictures? I've been amazed to watch what people can do. I've seen some beautiful ones that just really express a desire of the heart. And maybe some sad ones with a little stick man here and a Bible way over there. I wonder what the ideal picture would be. Would it be a heart, maybe, with a Bible in the middle? Or a mind with a Bible in the middle? Or a family with a Bible in the middle? I guess there's no ideal, but certainly we wouldn't want to have us over here and the Bible over there. As we talk about how to prepare our hearts to allow the Word of God to change our lives, to transform us, there's some important things we need to look at in this first session. And so I want you to turn to page 3 of your workbook. And by the way, if you haven't written your name on your workbook, you really ought to do that. I should have told you to write it on the front cover, because there'll be a whole pile of workbooks that look just like yours, and you won't want to have to go through everyone else's pictures to recognize your own. So make sure you have your name written on the front of your workbook, because that will become a precious thing to you as we go through this time together. Once you've done that, look with us on page 3. And we want to talk together about the basic preparation of the heart. You see, it's possible for people, and people have done this, to read the Bible and just throw it away and say, I don't find anything in it for me. It's possible to come to the Bible and be totally unaffected by it. So the things that we're going to share in the next half an hour or so are essential to what God is going to do in your life and in your family and in my life and my family in the days and weeks ahead. The first and basic foundation for the Word transforming us is to make a personal commitment to Jesus. You see, Jesus is the living Word. If Jesus were here with us, we wouldn't need the written Word. We could simply ask Him what the will of God and what the Word of God was, and He could tell us. But the foundation for the Word of God transforming our lives is to have that personal relationship with Jesus ourselves. So I hope you brought your Bibles with you. If you did, would you take them in your hand? And we're going to look at a couple of Bible texts together that speak about that important foundation. Someone please look at John chapter 5, 39 and 40. Someone else look up Luke 24, verse 27. And someone else look up John 20, 30 and 31.
Does someone have John 5, 39 to 40?
All right, we've got a little boy here. He's going to read the Bible text for us, and we'll have the microphone so it comes onto the tape.
Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life.
Thank you, young man. That was read beautifully. You know, that's a very important text in John chapter 5. Because apparently in the time of Jesus, there were people that had the Bible, and they searched the Bible thinking that in the Bible they could find eternal life. But Jesus said, these, that is the Scriptures, are the ones that testify about. And what is the function of the Scripture? That's right, to point to Him, and not only to point to Him, but that we might come to Him. And Jesus says, you've got the Scripture and you're studying it, but you refuse to come to me. You see, we could have this seminar, we could learn about how to read and study and memorize, but unless we come to Christ, we'll be lost, won't we? There's no other way of salvation except through Jesus. We'll be lost, and we would probably be the best Bible scholar in hell. And that's nothing to really feel that excited about, is it? As Josh read, searching the Scriptures without coming to Jesus is a fatal mistake. The essential preparation is to have that personal commitment with Jesus. And then He'll teach us from His Word. All right? What about Luke 24 and verse 27? All right, brother, we'll give you the microphone so we can get it on the tape.
And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning Himself.
Thank you so much. And who was that that gave that Bible study? You know, can you see in your Bible who gave that Bible study? Jesus did, didn't He? That's right. It was on the road to Emmaus, wasn't it? After His resurrection. Well, don't you wish you could have been at that Bible study? I tell you, there's some texts in the Old Testament that are a little difficult for me. I'm just thankful I don't have to understand everything in order to get to heaven, aren't you? I just have to know Jesus, and He wants to teach me His Word. But I wish I'd been at that Bible study. It said, as Brother read, that He explained from the Scriptures all of the things concerning Himself. The Old Testament Scriptures is what He was explaining from. By the way, do you think He had all of the scrolls under His arm? That's a question we'll talk about in one of our later sessions. But where did Jesus carry the Bible with Him? We'll talk about that in a later session. But Jesus explained that the Scriptures were all about Him. The Messiah, the Savior, who was going to come and set the people free. Free them from sin and its penalty, and from the power of sin in their lives, and turn them into a new creation by His working in their lives. Thank you for reading that beautiful text. Someone else, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. We have a young lady over here that's going to read that for us. John chapter 20, verses
and truly,
30 and 31.
Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name.
You've all heard that there just wouldn't have been enough room to contain it all, right? So why were the things written down that were written down? Why do you have those things in your Bible? Now, that's the book of John, but we could talk about that for any book of the Bible. Why are those things written down? Well, it was in verse 31. The most important things, and what's the reason? That's all that we need. That we might believe what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, we might know more Bible knowledge? No. That by believing we might have life through his name. Now you may walk out of this seminar, or you may be listening to this in your home, and at the end you say, boy, I don't think I could ever memorize 100 Bible verses. I don't ever think I could memorize 10 Bible verses. Do you know, I just finished teaching a class. And I have some young people who've memorized 100 Bible verses who are leaving the class saying, my next goal by the grace of God through the Holy Spirit is to memorize the book of the Bible. We're going to see that if that was possible back in the time of Jesus and it was possible in the Reformation times, that God could do miracles in our minds and in our lives today. But it's got to start with that commitment to Christ, because it would be foolish to walk around with all kinds of Bible knowledge and be lost. We want to take a moment to talk about what Jesus means to us.
We're going to take a minute to, in our support groups, and share about the time when you accepted Christ as your personal Savior. And if you haven't yet done that, maybe you can share your thoughts and feelings about becoming a Christian. So get in your groups of support groups, and we're going to start with the youngest person in each group. And then we're going to ring the bell after, we'll give you 3 minutes each. Or is that about right? After every 3 minutes, we'll ring the bell and rotate to your left in your groups.
It may be a long time since you shared with someone how you accepted Jesus, but I want to share with you that every time we give our testimony, our faith is strengthened. Some of you may have been Sauls on a Damascus road. Some of you God may have rescued from the gutter. And others may just be like little sunflowers turning toward the sun. And you say, I've always been looking at Jesus. By the way, if you're one of those people, boy or girl here, or an older person, and you say, I've always been looking to Jesus, don't envy the people who were in Skid Row. Don't envy them. Don't think that you've got to go out and have a terrible experience in order to love Jesus. Be thankful if you have God-fearing moms and dads who've helped you like a little flower just turn towards Jesus and shine for him. Think of Samuel. He never was a street fighter. Samuel never was a drug addict. He was just one that his mother dedicated to God from his very birth. And he turned his heart towards God and he became a great servant of God. So we want to have you have an opportunity to share. We were going to ask the oldest one, but we thought that might start some discussions as to who the oldest one was. So what we're going to do is start with the youngest one in the group and then just rotate to the left every time the little bell rings and share how you came to accept Jesus. And if you haven't yet, what your thoughts are about choosing him, for he's the only Savior. You can begin now.
Okay, not only is it important, an important foundation to have made a personal commitment to Christ, but it is also important to accept the gift of the Holy Spirit. Note with me in section B on page 3, it is the Holy Spirit who brings to us the presence of the living Word. He is the greatest gift of the Father to the redeemed child of God. Only through the ministry of the Holy Spirit can we be transformed by the Word of God. Would someone please look up the words of Jesus regarding the work of the Holy Spirit? Luke 11:13. Someone else
look up John 14:26, and someone else look up John 16:13. Okay, does someone have the first text there, Luke 11:13?
Luke 11:13.
As bad as you are, you know how to give good things to your children. How much more then will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?
Sounds like from reading that text that the Father is anxious to send the Holy Spirit to his children. Do you believe that? But there's a condition. Actually, there's actually two conditions. The first condition, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he'll send the Holy Spirit, right? He'll send you another comforter. So the first condition for receiving the Holy Spirit is to love Jesus, if you love me. And that love for Jesus is going to be manifested in the way that we live, right? If you love me, you will keep my commandments. So to say I love Jesus and disobey him is like saying, like me saying I love my wife and being unkind to her or unfaithful to her. If you love me, Jesus said, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father and he will send you. That's the first condition, love for Jesus. But there was another condition that we read, and it was that we need to ask. We need to ask. All right, the second text, John 14 and verse 26.
But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you.
Wow. Isn't that a beautiful text? He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. I remember talking to an individual one time, and she said, I don't need the Bible. I said, well, why not? She said, well, I have the Holy Spirit, so I don't need the Bible. Now, I don't know what spirit she had, but the Spirit of God is going to testify about what? What did you read? About the things that I have said to you. And where are the things recorded that he has said to us? In the Scriptures. So the Holy Spirit is going to point us back to the Bible, and it's the Holy Spirit that's going to do that transforming work in our hearts, isn't it? But we need to ask, and he will teach us all things. All right, the third text, John 16 and verse 13.
Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come.
What an amazing promise that he will lead us into all truth. Now, there was a question that Paul asked some believers. I'd like you all to open your Bibles to the book of Acts. Would you do that with me? To Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19. He found some disciples and he asked them in verse 2 of Acts 19, have you received the Holy Spirit since you first believed? Now, those believers said, we haven't even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. But I have a question for you, and I'd like you to just share, and I'll try to repeat it so everyone can hear. But how would you answer that question? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you first believed? And how do you know if you've received the Holy Spirit? Anybody, what are your thoughts? How would you know? I mean, would there be some kind of feeling that you would get when you receive the Holy Spirit? Or some kind of manifestation like the wind and the fire back on Pentecost? Have you received the Holy Spirit since you first believed? Would you not agree that that's an important question? Would you agree with me that's an important question? If He's going to teach us all things and guide us into all truth? So how do you know if you've received the Holy Spirit? Help me out. All right, a conviction about what? All right, a conviction about sin, righteousness and judgment. You're quoting the text there in John 16, okay? So the fact that things are happening, convictions in your life, you'd say the Holy Spirit is with me and in me, Jesus said, for the believer, didn't He? All right, someone else. How would you know if you've received the Holy Spirit? Yes, brother. All right. As a Christian, the comfort that He gives us. Did Jesus promise us that we would be without turmoil in this world? In fact, what did He tell us? He said that we would have trial and tribulation, but be of good cheer, He says, what? I have overcome the world. So that peace that I leave with you, John chapter 14, not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Our brother says that would be a testimony to us that the Holy Spirit is with us. All right? Anybody else? How do you know that you've received the Holy Spirit? Terry? All right, the fruits of the Spirit. Would you agree with that? I guess it would be possible to manufacture pseudo fruit, would it? But when true fruit is manifested, you'd say that's a sign the Holy Spirit is with you. You've received the Holy Spirit. Where is that text found about the fruits of the Spirit? Well, thank you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I don't know what translation you memorized that in. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you end up on finger number 9, you know you have them all. By the way, listen to those again and see if you need any of these things in your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Anyone besides me need patience? Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And just in case you say, well, I've done pretty well on all of those, we'll get you on the self-control one. Because that kind of covers everything. Self-control. I think Terry's right. That the fruit of the Spirit manifested in the life. And we know. Do we not know where we would be if not for the grace of God? We know where we'd be, don't we? And when the Holy Spirit is working in our hearts, it makes a difference. It makes a difference. But you know, for the person who says, well, I don't know, have I received the Holy Spirit? There's a simple answer to that person that can give them an assurance. And the simple answer is this. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Yes. Have you asked? Yes. Have they received? Yes. God is faithful. You don't have to feel a shudder in your spine or a tingle in your toes. I think there are times that we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit preciously near. But it's enough to know that we belong to Christ and we have asked. And that is a vital, vital preparation. For this weekend, God is going to do some wonderful things in our hearts in these next sessions. But we've got to start with the basics. The basic, recognizing our need. Now, I don't think there was anyone here who drew the pictures and thought about where the Bible is that sat back and said, perfect. Right? I think we all looked and said, like the songwriter says, Lord, plant my feet where? Higher ground. But we recognize our need. We come to Jesus and we accept Him as our personal Savior. That's what the Bible's about. And then we believe him when he says, I love to give good gifts. The Father loves to give good gifts. You people who are evil, that means just us. We give good gifts. How much more does the Father long to give the Holy Spirit? The greatest gift is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. The baptism of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. And we want to ask him and believe that promise. Once we've taken those two steps, then there's one final step which we want to just talk about together. And we want to do that as we close this first session tonight, give you an opportunity, and then I'm going to give you some homework for the lots of free time you have between now and session two.
Okay, we're going to look at making a personal covenant with the living word. While we cannot transform our own lives, even using the scriptures, we can say yes to the living word, which is Jesus Christ. We can give him permission by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to transform our lives by the word of God. By making a covenant with our Lord, we are clearly stating to God, to ourselves and to others, that we will make the word of God a central part of our Christian lives, giving God permission to transform us in accordance with his will. Let's take a look at some of the wonderful promises related to making a personal covenant with Jesus. John 17:17, Jeremiah 15:16, and Psalms 119:11. Who has John 17:17?
Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
Isn't that a beautiful promise? What does it mean to sanctify them? To make them holy. To set them apart as belonging to God. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. That's why we need to make a covenant with God to let his word transform our lives. All right? Jeremiah 15 was the text we read at the beginning. Maybe someone has that in another version. Jeremiah 15:16.
When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight. For I bear your name, O Lord, God Almighty.
Beautiful. My heart's delight. Wouldn't it be wonderful if at the end of this seminar we could look back and say, your word is my heart's delight. Some of us would have to admit that God's going to have to change our hearts. Some of us may be even sitting here tonight or listening to this tape and saying, this is kind of boring to me. I don't know that I'm really interested in this. I could be watching TV right now, or I could be reading a book. Give God a chance, will you? And see what he can do. God can renew our hearts and make his word a joy and rejoicing to us. And then perhaps my favorite text about scripture, second to Colossians 3:16. Well, I have a lot of favorite texts. But I love Psalm 119 and verse 11. And we've got a young man back there who's volunteering to read it for us. Oh, we have a lady here. Thank you.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I may not sin against thee.
I'm sorry, I thought it was a lady there, and that's a beautiful, deep voice. Thank you, brother. Your word. We do not hide God's word in our hearts to impress people. We do not hide God's word in our hearts to impress people. I met a young pastor not too long ago, who committed his life to Christ 10 years ago, now perhaps 12 years ago. And he said to me, I think he was an atheist before he became a Christian. And he said, I said to myself, if this really is God's word, I want to hide it in my heart. And he began to memorize the scripture. Now, he didn't tell me how much he'd memorized, but I asked him because I have a real interest in scripture memorization. I said to him, brother, how much have you memorized in this past years? And he said, by the grace of God, 360 chapters of the Bible. You think that's going to change his life? You think it's going to make a difference in his family? In his ministry? We're not doing it to impress people, but your word, what did the Bible say? Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. And when we're coming into temptation, the Holy Spirit can bring to your mind his word. When you're coming into a place where he wants you to witness for him, he can bring to your mind his word if you hide it in your heart. And so as Bodell said, we want to give you an opportunity here to write a covenant. I've written a sample covenant. Maybe that expresses your desire. Maybe you want to add a few things to it. Edit it. Put a few notes. Write one all of your own. But I'd like to read the one that's here. And if you say, yes, that's my heart's desire too, I want to give you an opportunity to sign it. And to put today's date down. And to make a decision that you want to give God permission to let his word by the Holy Spirit work in your heart. Why don't we read it together? That way we can think about it and share it together. I covenant to make the word of God a central part of my Christian life, to spend time each day with the scriptures and to hide God's word in my heart. I give God permission to transform me in accordance with his will. I want to just give you a moment to think about that, pray about it, if that's your heart's desire, to sign that, to put today's date. You say, but I don't know if God can do that. Let me ask you a question. Is anything too difficult for God? No, it isn't. So make a decision. And then we're going to sing our theme song to close and offer a prayer of blessing. And we'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Just take a few seconds here to make your decision. I almost forgot to give you your homework. We're going to meet in the next session. Some who may be listening to this tape will meet next week. They'll have a little more time. But I have a piece of homework for you. And I think we have that sheet with the Bible text ready. Did you get that when you came in? I want you to look on that sheet, and there is a wonderful text there that I'd like to give you the challenge of hiding in your heart before tomorrow morning. You say, it's not possible. Well, commit yourself to Jesus, ask for his spirit, and take a look at this text. It is a wonderful text. It says, 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's what? It's profitable. For what? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What does it say after that? That the man of God, and you could say the woman of God, make it personal for you, that the man of God, the woman of God may be complete. What? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Isn't that a wonderful text? You say, I've read that before. But you haven't read it the way that God is going to do it for you between now and tomorrow morning. Because that word, if you believe it, can change your life. I want to give you that homework. Whether you're 4 years old or 94 years old. And there'll be a little 4x6 card waiting for you at the table as you leave that you can take with you and you can write it out. Like in a verse stanza, just like we wrote this text out. And that will help you to memorize it. We're going to share with you a lot of tremendous insights in the sessions tomorrow on how to memorize, how to share Scripture together as a family, and how to experience the power of Scripture in your life. We'll look forward to seeing you. But we want to sing our theme song before we leave and then pray a prayer of blessing together. Can you remember this one? We learned it at the beginning. Colossians 3:16.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another,
teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Can you say amen to that text? Praise God for His Word and what it can do in our hearts. I want to invite you to kneel with me as we pray and close this session. As we seal the commitment that we've made tonight in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your wonderful love for us. Thank you that you love the world so much that you gave your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you long to give to those who ask you. And we tonight, having accepted Jesus as our personal Savior, we ask you to fill us with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Baptize us, Lord, and let the Holy Spirit bring the Word of God to us in a life-changing way, we pray. We've made a covenant tonight with you, giving you permission to work in our lives through your Word by the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that you are faithful and you will do that which you promise. Bless us as we go to rest tonight, as we come back to learn wonderful things about how to listen to your Word, how to hide your Word in our hearts, to bless our own lives, the lives of our family and those that we meet, how to study your Word, and how to apply it to our lives and share it with others. Oh Lord, bring us back safely so that we can continue to let you work, we pray. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to Dr. Derek Morris in association with American Cassette Ministries, a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 1994, American Cassette Ministries, all rights reserved. Christian ethics prohibit reproductions in any form. For additional Spirit-filled messages by Dr. Morris or other American Cassette Ministry speakers, please write to us at American Cassette Ministries, Post Office Box 922, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, ZIP 17108 in the United States of America. To place your order, call us toll-free 1-800-233-4450. Thank you for ordering American Cassette Ministry cassettes. We appreciate your continued prayers and financial support, and together we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ.